Bush is scheduled to tell the nation tonight the U.S. will withdraw 30,000 in Iraq by next summer if conditions allow. Congressional Democratic leaders are rejecting the proposal, saying it does not go far enough, fast enough. The coast of Texas was lashed by the storm Humberto, which strengthened into a hurricane this morning. The region has already suffered one of the soggiest summers in 50 years. Hurricane Humberto is on his way to east central Louisiana. Two more major earthquakes jolted Indonesia this morning following yesterday's 8.4 tremor. For the second day in a row, tsunami warnings were issued and then lifted for the entire Indian Ocean region. International rescue workers are rushing to the area. For much of the Muslim world, more than a billion worshippers, today begins the holiest of months, Ramadan. The month is marked by fasting and festivities. In Iraq, the U.S. began releasing prisoners today, a common method in which to commemorate Ramadan. The U.S. says it will free between 50 and 80 daily throughout the month. The U.S. is holding more than 23,000 Iraqis in American-run prisons. In Tokyo, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe was raced to a hospital today, admitted for what officials say is stress and exhaustion. In Nebraska, a lawsuit has been filed against federal immigration authorities on behalf of union workers in six Swift meatpacking plants. The suit alleges INS agents roughly manhandled people in recent raids, even when they were not suspects. In Vermont, a federal judge has struck down lawsuits by automobile manufacturers challenging the state's tough laws restricting vehicle-emitted greenhouse gases. A similar lawsuit is pending in California, which pioneered the new air pollution regulations. Two plane crashes yesterday. An Army helicopter went down in northeast Alabama, killing all three soldiers aboard, and a biplane stunt pilot died after crashing during practice for the Reno National Championship air races. Searchers looking for millionaire adventurer Steve Fawcett in the Nevada wilderness haven't found him yet, but they have discovered six previously undiscovered small plane crash sites, bringing closure to cases of other flyers, some lost for decades. Gold is trading at $717.10 an ounce. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business Next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The life expectancy in the U.S. has risen to an all-time high, nearly 78 years. That's according to the CDC. The nation ranks number 42 worldwide in life expectancy. Japan is number one. A Freedom of Information investigation by the Associated Press shows inspectors failed to increase their monitoring of vegetables produced in the Central California coast after last year's outbreak of E. coli in spinach. Electronic Data Systems says it's offered early retirement to about a quarter of its workforce, 12,000 employees. The technology services company says the move will cost it between $70 and $130 million next quarter. Shares of Alcatel-Lucent fell 11% after the telecommunications equipment maker announced it expected its quarterly operating profits to be flat. Bank of America has increased the amount of money it charges non-customers to use the bank's ATMs. The $3 charge is the highest such fee in the nation. After two incidents this week in which landing gear collapsed, the maker of Bombardier aircraft recommended regional airlines across North America and Europe ground all flights. Hundreds of trips may be involved. Light sweet crude is trading at $79.64 a barrel. Silver is trading at $12.67 an ounce. More on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
This is a top to a, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, Right across the board.
Oh.
11,
oh,
11,
and most of
11,
the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is, if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Foxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Foxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
Hey, hey, hey! All right, everybody, welcome aboard Foxed Up for a Thursday morning for those of you over there in the United States. It's, well, it's Friday morning over here, just 6 minutes into it. Welcome aboard another wondrous day of conversation radio here on the Head On Radio Network. What are we going to do today? Oh, boy, do I have a funny track for you today, but we'll get there in a little while. So, you know, everything at the moment is all about, you know, Petraeus, okay? His testimony. And I love that whole thing. I've been seeing clips of stuff, and, you know, where he makes some sort of statement that this report has not been vetted by the White House, the Pentagon, or any other body. And it's just like, oh, give me a break. Please. You think that that thing was not gone over line by line, word for word. And it's the thing that I find amazing is how short-sighted or short-hindsighted or... we just don't remember things that happened yesterday. You know, Bush is supposed to be coming out today and you know, giving one of his speeches. And he's going to talk about the 30,000 withdrawal plan. Now, you know, this whole thing is just, you know, it's like, you know, it's playing, you know, military shell game here. You know, the whole surge vibe was 30,000 troops in for a short period of time to surge, and then they go home. And so now, this 30,000 is being reworded as a drawdown. And I just can't believe that anyone buys into this. I mean, and it is a sign of our soundbite culture, our 24-hour news cycle, where, you know, what you're told today has nothing to do with what you were told yesterday, the day before, last week, or last year. You know, that's all old history. We've rewritten that. I'm so glad that there are Democrats and Republicans that have been reading this guy, the Riot Act, going, you know, I'm sorry, no offense, but we don't believe squat of what you say. And it's, you know, even though I'm about to read something where there are some people who think that, who don't think very highly of Mr. Petraeus, And have you heard that this guy has talked about wanting to be president? We're going to get there. President Petraeus. That's a scary thing. And would he pull, you know, would he pull a Musharraf and you know, as president still go around in his uniform? Don't know. And something else that I'm going to get to later, I don't know if you've caught this bit at the Raw story, that, you know, Obama has suddenly gotten on the whole, we got to pull out now kind of thing, and Kucinich just hammered him in a statement, absolutely hammered him. And if Dennis keeps this kind of stuff up, he might have more of a chance than I thought. Because I'll tell you, aside from Al Gore jumping in, I don't dig Hillary. Don't trust her as far as I could toss her. Obama, sorry, mate. You got into office on an anti-war footing and then proceeded to vote yes for all the funding that came by you. So I look at it as a bit of mouth service, all your little claims here. And I believe Dennis did as well. There's certain things that I don't mind. I kind of like about Obama. And I have to say that there's a certain part of me that if I didn't have some issues with policy of what I've heard come from him, the idea of an African American president, I think would be genius, just for the shakeup in race relations in the United States. I think it would be brilliant, but he's not my kind of guy. I really do like Dennis. Now, I have to say that I didn't really know that much about the guy until the last, 18 months or so, and the more and more that I see him speak and the way he handles himself, I really think out of all the candidates, he and Edwards are the boys. I still like John Edwards. But this performance, which I'll get in, I'll read some of this statement a little bit later, is just brilliant. And the beauty of him going kind of toe-to-toe with Barack Obama is the fact that he has solid ground to stand on because he has voted against the war every time, every penny, every declaration, every whatever. He's just been like, no, screw it. This ain't right. It's illegal. All the reasons that we understand. And so, if the American public really are sick of this whole mess that we're in and are really, really pissed off and angry about the fact that we were lied into this thing the way we were, then, I want to have someone who was either against the war from the beginning or someone like John Edwards who has come out flat out and said, I got it wrong. I got it flat out wrong. I haven't seen Barack Obama do such a thing. I've definitely not seen Hillary do such a thing. And especially with Hillary, that worries me. And there's her Walmart money and other things in the DLC that all kind of give me the heebie-jeebies. And I'm sorry, I'm not into dynasties, Bushes or Clintons. I don't think that's healthy for our democracy in any way, shape, or form. No matter how popular Bill might have been, I don't like the idea of it being like a succession of having two families having run this country primarily for almost three decades. It's a bit scary. So anyway, we're going to take our first break of the morning. So when we come back, we'll do a little bit of this stuff, and then we're going to do today's track of the day, which I think you will enjoy, another live number from Mr. Country Joe McDonald. So You listen to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice, your home for conversation radio. Stick around. We will be right back after this.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
You want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Yeah, my name is
Join me this Friday on Foxed Up with John Fox at 10 a.m. Eastern. We'll take a trip back to the fall of 1974 when John Lennon sat behind the mic at WNEW-FM New York to promote his newly released album, Walls and Bridges. It's classic Lennon taking liberties with commercials.
Listen to this. Claycott C1, Pierre Boulez's album, The Rites of Spring, spelled R-I-G-H-T-S. Very subtle.
And he even does the weather.
All right. We're not going to bother with the weather. Just look out of the window.
Plus, you'll find out which tune Lennon and McCartney wrote for another famous band. This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Polar bears live in the Arctic, on the ice.
But the ice is melting because of global warming.
Some polar bears have to swim so far they drown. Baby bears have died.
When I'm old, when I'm 45, all the bears could be gone.
Grown-ups should do something.
If you're a grown-up, go to polarbearsos.org now. You can make sure polar bears are protected under the Endangered Species Act.
Please help them.
We often hear claims Muslims don't condemn terrorism.
And that Islam condones violence.
As Muslims, we want to state clearly
that those who commit acts of terror in the name of Islam are betraying the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad.
We reject anyone of any faith who commits such brutal acts.
And will not allow our faith to be hijacked by criminals.
Islam is not about hatred and violence. It's about peace and justice.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Sorry about that. We had a little bit of a dump of our old connection here. These things happen. It's been a little flaky today, I must admit. I don't know what's going on, but, first flaky day that I've had with the new connection. But with the way the telcos are all confused out here and, you know, Jeez. I can't even explain to you how I can't hold failures accountable to my provider, considering the fact that everyone has to go through Telstra. It's just a mess. But anyway, I'm glad that was quick, because, boy, it felt like an eternity on this end. I'm running from room to room. Anyway, you know, last night, I did a little story about the fall in male birth rates in the Arctic. And I got an email from a listener I didn't even know I had. Straight after the show last night, I get this really nice show from Nick at the University of Manitoba in Winnipeg. It sometimes really blows me away, you know, what we accomplish here at the Horn. You know, I'm down here in Sydney, Bob's over in West Virginia, and I get an email from some guy off in Winnipeg who says he listens to this program every day, and I love it. He says, you were commenting on the pollution situation in the Arctic. I've seen similar articles done by people like the CBC. He said also, and unfortunately doesn't have any references, I saw an article on CBC that talked about a similar situation of disappearing boys in Sarnia, Ontario, a very heavily industrialized city in Western Ontario. There is an Aboriginal community that sits in the shadows of some various heavy-duty chemical plants. Their boy birth rate is just falling through the floor, and it has been linked to similar pollution issues that you read about on your show, so it's everywhere. And he says, now you're talking about cities. Here's one for you. Many North American cities are obese, not necessarily just the people, but the actual cities. And I agree with him. They spread out. They're fed a steady diet of junk food and sprawly suburbs, big box developments, and edge-of-the-city office parks and industrial areas. These obese cities' arteries are clogged with the bad cholesterol of single-occupant cars. The good cholesterol mass transit vehicles are getting fewer and farther between. Meanwhile, the heart, the downtown, struggles to continue to pump blood into the city, and the city packs on the pounds of low-density expansion and inner-city neglect. And, of course, let's not forget that the city guzzles many six-packs of petrol like the couch potato, downing beers with by the gallon or liter for us metric types. And he says hello to all the network mates. So he's also a big fan of Joe Vecchio's show. It's great to get this kind of feedback from people, you know, saying that they listen every day and they get a lot out of the show. And and Nick's promised to ring in one day, which I think would be really good. So anyway, thanks very much, Nick. I really enjoyed the email. So might as well just set up the track of the day, because this is just too much fun. A couple months ago, I played a little spoken word thing of Country Joe McDonald's called You Know What I Mean, which is hysterical. And while Gail and I were on a holiday, our hosts, who we rented the place from, who were just so gracious, I decided the least I could do for everything that they had done for us was to give the guys some music. So I gave him the Country Joe thing, and we were in his Jeep one day, and I played the You Know What I Mean thing, and he absolutely just fell over laughing. When this particular track came up, he just went, wow, that's really great, and how poignant for the time. Now, you got to remember, this is a Vietnam-era song. And the little banter explains it all. So without further ado, from Incredible Live, back from, geez, God knows when, Country Joe McDonald and Kiss My Ass. Roll it, Bob.
Like in the past 6 months, I've been doing a lot of stuff for the GI movement, you know, performances and things. And this is a song that I particularly wrote for GIs. It expresses the sentiments of most GIs, I think. It's called Kiss My Ass. Well, I got out of school and I was feeling kind of down. Thought I'd join the army, just take a look around. I went on down to the recruiter man, and that's when all of my troubles began. Well, I've been up, down, and around.
around this country more than a couple of times, but I never knew until I got to the army that thinking for yourself was a crime. Get over here, stand over there, let's see your identification. Shut your mouth, son, get back in line, sending you to Southeast Asia. Well, they give me some shoes that hurt my feet, they give me some food not fit to eat. They told me that I wasn't fighting alone, they sent me to Saigon, they stayed home. Well, I've been up, down and around this country more than a couple of times, but I never knew until I got to the army that thinking for yourself was a crime. Get over here, stand over there, let's see your identification. Shut your mouth, son, get back in line, sending you to Southeast Asia. Oh yeah, da 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 da, ba 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 ba, do 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 do, do da 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 da, do 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 do, do 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 do, da da da. Fucking war, A, B, C, D. Get someone else, say, don't get me. Left, right, the whole damn thing puts me uptight. I've done my duty and I fought my fight, and I thought I knew I was doing right. But that's all over, I'm free at last. If they want any more, they can kiss my ass. I've been up, down and around this country more than a couple of times, but I never knew until I got to the army to think that for itself was a crime. But get over here, stand over there, let's see your identification. Shut your mouth, son, get back in line, sending you to Southeast Asia like hell.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. During the Petraeus hearings in the Senate, there came a crucial and unexpected confession from the general. He was being gently walked through his paces by Republican Senator John Warner when Warner asked whether the war in Iraq was making America any safer. A pretty fundamental question, one that Russ Feingold tried to get an answer to a little bit earlier but failed. First time through, Petraeus tried to dodge it, then Warner repeated it, and here's what Petraeus said. Sir, I don't know. Actually, after 3,750 U.S. soldiers dead, 28,000 wounded, and maybe close to a million Iraqi civilians killed, the leading U.S. general in Iraq can't tell us whether it's made us any safer? Sir, I don't know, actually. What a confession. What a concession for Petraeus to make. How do you talk to families of our fallen soldiers when even their commanding officer can't affirm that the war is making us safer? Petraeus' confession also undercuts Bush's whole rationale for this war in the first place, the notion, repeated ad nauseum, that the Iraq war is crucial for our safety. Maybe that's why, several hours later, Petraeus retracted the statement. In response to follow-up from Senator Evan Bayh, Petraeus said the question had come as a bit of a surprise, adding, "The answer is yes. The Iraq war is making us safer." But it isn't, as even he, in one unguarded moment, revealed. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
I can see.
And again, I was talking about the Republican debate. So we'll get to the point where we're going to drag a terrorist out to the stage with the Republicans, and they're all going to take turns kicking him in the nuts and see who the audience cheers for the most. That's going to determine who's going to be the Republican candidate. Because that's what they are. Kick him in the nuts. How do they do that on South Park? Rochambeau. They're going to Rochambeau the terrorists.
Come on, rub my nipples while I torture this little piggy.
Now that sounds pretty sweet to me.
The Cup of Joe radio show with your host, the working man's thinking man, Joe Vecchio. 11 a.m. to noon weekdays here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice.
What is that, Bob? Oh, Manfred, man! Ooh, that's killer! All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up. How groovy is that? Jeez, they're a great band. You know, that reminds me of a story. When I was living in Germany, and while I'm setting this story up, let's see if I can remember the joke that goes with it. When I was living in Germany, I played a little acoustic gig at a little bar a couple times while I was living in Lübeck, called the Firehouse, and it was actually an old converted firehouse. And the bartender there was this really, really great, well-known local jazz and fusion bass player. And one night they had a trio that had, I believe it was the bass player from Manfred Mann, and there were two other guys who I can't think of at the moment. They were just like brilliant players, and one of them was a German was a German guy. And so they came and played this jazz trio gig, and it was fantastic. It was drums, bass, and organ, if memory serves me correctly. And so, unfortunately, you know, it was one of those gigs where no one showed. So there was like, you know, five people in this place just being astounded by some amazing players. And so we're sitting there with the three guys from the band and a couple people that were there at the bar and this bass player, bartender. And so the bass player with the act turns and says, "I got a great joke." Bass player joke. Says, so this psychic decides she wants to do an experiment. She goes to a rock concert and she wants to see what... During the performance, what the individual guys in the band are thinking. And so, you know, first she tunes in into the guitar player and sitting there thinking, and suddenly she starts hearing his brain going off, and he's saying, "Oh, wow, that blonde in the third row. I'm going to have to get the roadies to tap her on the shoulder and bring her back." Okay. So then they go to the drummer. The drummer's sitting there playing away. He's bashing away. She tunes in on him. And what does she get? Ah, God, after the gig, I'm so hungry. I think I'm going to get a pizza, pepperoni, an onion, and peppers. And she's going, geez, that's lame. So then she gets to the bass player and nothing. Nothing. She's concentrating. And finally she gets into his head. And all she gets is B, 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 A. And you watch this bass player behind the bar just disappear because he collapsed. Now, only a musician will get that joke. Most of you are going to sit there going, that wasn't funny at all. But see, that goes into that thing, you know, that falls into those, you know, what do you call a guitar player without a girlfriend? Homeless. Anyway, getting back to more serious stuff. I don't, you know, see what happens when Bob starts playing really, you know, left field things. He makes me go off and tell stupid stories. anyway, let's talk about Mr. Petraeus, shall we? As I was futzing around before the show, I saw Gail come across this from IPSnews.net. U.S. and Iraq, Fallon derided Petraeus, opposed the surge. This is by Gareth Porter, and it says, in sharp contrast to the lionization of General David Petraeus by members of the U.S. Congress during his testimony this week, Petraeus's superior, Admiral William Fallon, chief of the Central Command, derided Petraeus as a sycophant during their first meeting in Baghdad last March, according to Pentagon sources familiar with reports of the meeting. Fallon told Petraeus that he considered him to be an ass-kissing little chicken shit and added, I hate people like that, the sources say. The remark reportedly came after Petraeus began the meeting by making remarks that Fallon interpreted as trying to ingratiate himself with a superior. So he was kissing his ass, huh? Jeez. That extraordinarily contentious start of Fallon's mission to Baghdad led to more meetings marked by acute tension between the two commanders. Fallon went on to develop his own alternative to Petraeus' recommendation for continued high levels of U.S. troops in Iraq during the summer. The enmity between the two commanders became public knowledge when the Washington Post reported September 9 on intense conflict within the administration over Iraq. The story quoted a senior official as saying, that referring to bad relations between them is the understatement of the century. Fallon's derision toward Petraeus reflected both the CENTCOM commander's personal distaste for Petraeus' style of operating and their fundamental policy differences over Iraq, according to the sources. The policy context of Fallon's extraordinarily abrasive treatment of his subordinate was Petraeus' agreement in February to serve as frontman for the George W. Bush administration's effort to sell its policy of increasing U.S. troop strength in Iraq to Congress. And in a highly unusual political role for an officer who had not yet taken command of a war, Petraeus was installed in the office of Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, a Republican from Kentucky, in early February, just before the Senate debated Bush's troop increase. According to a report in the Washington Post, February 7th, senators were then approached on the floor and invited to go to McConnell's office to hear Petraeus make the case for the surge policy. Fallon was strongly opposed to Petraeus's role as pitch man for the surge policy in Iraq adopted by Bush in December, as putting his own interests ahead of the sound military posture in the Middle East and Southwest Asia, the area for which Fallon's CENTCOM is responsible. The CENTCOM commander believed the United States should be withdrawing troops from Iraq urgently, largely because he saw greater dangers elsewhere in the region. He is very focused on Pakistan, said a source familiar with Fallon's thinking, and trying to maintain a difficult status quo with Iran. By the time Fallon took command of CENTCOM in March, Pakistan had become the main safe haven for Osama bin Laden's al-Qaeda plan and carry out its worldwide operations, as well as being an extremely unstable state with both nuclear weapons and the world's largest population of Islamic extremists, blah, 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 blah. Now, this is not, you know, a good sign when you know, your commanding officer thinks you're a chicken shit and an ass kisser. That's not exactly a stamp of approval, if you ask me. And this story seems to be starting to make its way around. OpEdNews.com has President Petraeus, and this is also referred to in the other article. And it says here, U.S. Commander in Iraq General David Petraeus expressed long-term interest in running for the U.S. presidency when he was stationed in Baghdad 3 years ago, according to a senior Iraqi official who knew him at the time. Sabah Kadim, then a senior advisor and spokesman at the Iraq Interior Ministry, says that General Petraeus discussed with him his long-term ambition to be president when the general was head of training and recruitment of the Iraq Army in 2004-2005. I asked him if he was planning to run in 2008, and he said, no, that would be too soon, said Mr. Kadim, who now lives in London. General Petraeus has a reputation in the U.S. Army for being a man of great ambition. If he succeeds in reversing America's apparent failure in Iraq, he would be a natural candidate for the White House in the presidential election in 2012 or beyond. His able defense of the surge in U.S. troop numbers in Iraq as a success before Congress this week has made General Petraeus the best-known active soldier in America, an articulate, intelligent, and energetic man. This is from the quote here is from Counterpunch, but boy, it's more of this kind of like ass-kissing, you know. Isn't he manly? What is it with this administration? It's all about, isn't he manly? He drives a red pickup truck. Isn't he manly? He smells good. Isn't he manly? What the hell is going on over with that party? Bunch of wackos. You know, if they're not talking about how manly each other are, they're tapping their foot in stalls. Bizarre stuff going on. But now I want to get to this bit with Kucinich. This, I just so enjoyed this. And a lot of you probably have seen this over at the Raw story. Kucinich, Obama's newfound Iraq strategy is too little too late. And they say, Democratic presidential candidates spent part of Wednesday sniping at each other, beginning with a speech by Senator Barack Obama, which alluded to a few of his opponents who voted to authorize the war in Iraq. Although one target, Senator Hillary Clinton, laid low for the time being, four other Democrat candidates fired back at Obama and also the former First Lady. Conventional thinking in Washington lined up for war, Obama said, and in remarks not specifically mentioning Clinton or Edwards, but targeting the Washington political class, of which both were prime members. Despite, or perhaps because of how much experience they had in Washington, too many politicians feared looking weak and failed to ask hard questions. Very true. Very true. I'm not disagreeing with any of this, Barack. Obama added, let me be clear, there is no military solution in Iraq, and there never was. Well, why did you vote for funding all this time? That's my question. The best way to protect our security and pressure Iraq's leaders to resolve their civil war is immediately to begin remove our combat troops. You know, and this is another thing. It's like, you know, suddenly, you know, it's the Iraqis' fault that we went in there and created chaos. And it's like all they're doing. I'm telling you, I feel like I could put money on it. If we pulled out in an orderly fashion and quickly, I bet the violence would start to pull back. Because I sometimes really don't believe that all these attacks are by who they say they are. I mean, we know about the British dressing up as local Iraqis, you know, getting arrested, jailed, and then the British military knocking the wall of the jail down to pull them out. But anyway, they go on and they have bits from Edwards. Edwards, who's been calling for an immediate withdrawal of 40 to 50,000 troops and a complete withdrawal of all combat troops within 9 to 10 months, said Obama's plan would only begin to end this war now. But then it's Kucinich, man. I'm telling you, somehow, some way, we have to get this guy more FaceTime. You know, because you see him show up on on, you know, like Bill Maher's show or anything, and he gets the biggest round of applause, you know? Now, and the flip side on the Republicans is Ron Paul. Now, Ron Paul is a bit of a libertarian wacko, but it's interesting that you have these two candidates, and Gravel's in this category too, that they're getting a response from the populace because they are actually speaking to the populace about how they feel about this war and the fact that we need to get the hell out. And the fact that we've made a complete and utter disaster of the Middle East. But here it says here, excerpts from Kucinich's press release. Kucinich, the only Democratic presidential candidate who voted against the original Iraq War authorization in 2002 and every supplemental war appropriation since, said Obama's announcement of today of a new approach to Iraq is sorely wanting at every level. With all due respect to my friend and colleague, his newfound strategy for the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq is too little too late and too politically contrived and convenient to be credible or persuasive, said Kucinich. While Senator Obama is now struggling mightily to establish himself as the party's leading advocate for ending the war and bringing troops home, until recently his record shows that he voted for every reauthorization of the war by approving of every additional spending measure placed before him by the Bush administration. He gave only highly publicized and highly promoted speech against the war before he was elected to the U.S. Senate, but starting in 2004, when he was elected to do more than just give speeches, his votes show that he bought the lies and paid for the war over and over again. It was only a few months ago when he became a candidate for the presidency that he decided it was politically inconvenient to keep supporting the president and keep supporting the war and keep supporting the diversion of hundreds of billions of dollars from our crucial domestic priorities. The senator's call for what's being described as an immediate withdrawal is actually an unacceptable, inadequate, and disingenuous campaign tactic that leaves our brave men and women in Iraq at risk and in jeopardy until the end of next year. They need to come home now. The war needs to end now. The Congress needs to stop supporting the president's failed policies now. I welcome the senator's late arrival to the debate I began in 2002 when I led the opposition in the Congress to going to war. I'm glad he has finally joined me in a call for more international involvement to stabilize the situation. I also appreciate his new willingness to support my call for additional spending to help Iraqi citizens whose lives and property have been destroyed by this war. After almost 3 years, the senator has finally recognized that he and has a lot of catching up to do. What America needs is a leader, not someone who spends years struggling to catch up. Oh, Mac! The little man comes out swinging. And, you know, it's one of these situations where, you know, we know that he doesn't get the camera time because the media establishment likes to choose the horse race. And they want this Hillary and Obama game. And it makes it all nice and tidy. I don't know. I'm feeling that there is this, and I'm feeling like there is a chance that, you know, if Kucinich continues to be able to get press, I think he stands more of a chance than many of us thought, because, you know, you hear the discussions. You know, you see them like in the Horn chat room and other places. You see the discussions that, you know, there's a whole lot. You know, the progressives really like Kucinich, but they've been given this idea that he can't win. So you have a whole bunch of people who say, well, I don't think he can win, so I'm not going to vote for him. Well, if all those people who really like him would start to think that, well, if me and you 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 all vote with your, you know, convictions, maybe we can get this guy in. And, you know, start thinking that Kucinich Edwards, Edwards is another one that I think when it comes to social responsibility. I think he, you know, I think he's got some good ideas there. You know, and Bob says in the chat here says, you know, hoping that people, as things draw near, that people sign on in the various states to be Dennis's ballot rep in the congressional district for the primaries. And, you know, I really think, you know, we've been through this before, you know, the scare tactic stuff of that guy can't win, that guy can't win, he's too far to the left or whatever. Well, too far to the left for who? When, if you actually look at the policies that are being laid out, I reckon Kucinich probably represents a lot of what people really think we need. As Bob says, too far to the left, when approximately 70% of America agrees with him, and that's what I'm saying. And it's this false idea that we're convinced that, you know, this little guy that lived in his car at one time with the statuesque misses can't win. And if 70% of America agrees with him on things like universal health care, getting the hell out of the war, you know, actually looking after one another, you know, cleaning up the environment, getting off of the, you know, getting away from, you know, fossil fuels, all that. I mean, second to Al Gore, Kucinich has the best vibe on the environment that I've seen. Gravel's not bad either. I've read a few things from him too. He doesn't seem like he has a huge grasp of the subject. However, I think he understands that it is enough of an issue that it needs to be right up front. It needs to be right up front. And I think that would be a good thing. You know, I'm still hoping Al throws his hat in the ring. I really do. Then, give us Gore Kucinich. How hot would that be? And again, Bob's got, you know, Gravel is just close enough to Kucinich to pull votes from him. And I agree with you there. I actually think Gravel is kind of falling in comparison to Kucinich. I went and checked a few, you know, totally non-scientific polls. And, you know, you do have the Hillary and Obama kind of juggernaut happening. But, you know, I was starting to see on some of them where, you know, Kucinich is really starting to get up there in third and fourth position. And, you know, he and Edwards are bloody really close in a lot of these things. Bob says Gravel's a plant. He might be. And, you know, but I think if anyone drops out quickly, the first one's going to be Gravel. And I think he knows it, but I think he's staying. If he's not a plant, you know, if he's a plant, fine. If he's not, I'm not so sure that he's a plant, but Ron Paul, I'll go with you, is probably a plant because he's playing, he's trying, you know, it's that idea, they're trying to play the lefty right wing guy. And it's not that. He's a real privatized bastard and it's trying to siphon off progressive voters in the primaries. I totally agree with you, Bob. You know, it's going to be a hell of a run up to this election. I mean, we haven't had a campaign start this early in history, as far as I know. I mean, this thing's already been going on for practically a year. I don't know. I've been seeing more and more of this stuff from Kucinich, and I'm actually seeing it pop up in visible areas of you know, mainstream websites. You know, it's kind of like he's starting to get, you know, he keeps getting another finger up on the windowsill, pulling him up into the window, going, "Hi, I'm here, damn it." but I really think, you know, I have to say, you know, I mean, I always kind of dug him as I got to know him, but I'm I'm falling for him more and more. The more I hear this guy speak, and the fact that he can think on his feet, that's one of the things that I really like. He can think on his feet, and what he says does not sound rehearsed. You know, if you don't lie, you don't have to remember much. So it's very easy for him to be honest and dynamic and flow, and, you know, and I reckon, you know, he'd probably be a damn good foreign diplomat. You know, he's got he appears to me to be a very disarming personality. Bob would probably be able to speak to that more than I, because he's actually, you know, spoken with him a couple of times, but...
Mark, President Bush is scheduled to tell the nation tonight the U.S. will withdraw 30,000 in Iraq by next summer if conditions allow. Congressional Democratic leaders are rejecting the proposal, saying it does not go far enough, fast enough. The coast of Texas was lashed by the storm Humberto, which strengthened into a hurricane this morning. The region has already suffered one of the soggiest summers in 50 years. Hurricane Humberto is on his way to east-central Louisiana. Two more major earthquakes jolted Indonesia this morning following yesterday's 8.4 tremor. For the second day in a row, tsunami warnings were issued and then lifted for the entire Indian Ocean region. International rescue workers are rushing to the area. For much of the Muslim world, more than a billion worshippers, today begins the holiest of months, Ramadan. The month is marked by fasting and festivities. In Iraq, the U.S. began releasing prisoners today, a common method in which to commemorate Ramadan. The U.S. says it will free between 50 and 80 daily throughout the month. The U.S. is holding more than 23,000 Iraqis in American-run prisons. In Tokyo, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe was raced to a hospital today, admitted for what officials say is stress and exhaustion. In Nebraska, a lawsuit has been filed against federal immigration authorities on behalf of union workers in six Swift meatpacking plants. The suit alleges INS agents roughly manhandled people in recent raids, even when they were not suspects. In Vermont, a federal judge has struck down lawsuits by automobile manufacturers challenging the state's tough laws restricting vehicle-emitted greenhouse gases. A similar lawsuit is pending in California, which pioneered the new air pollution regulations. Two plane crashes yesterday. An Army helicopter went down in northeast Alabama, killing all three soldiers aboard, and a biplane stunt pilot died after crashing during practice for the Reno National Championship air races. Searchers